topics and opinions expressed in the following show are solely those of the hosts and their guests and not those of W4CY Radio, its employees, or affiliates. We make no recommendations or endorsements for radio show programs, services, or products mentioned on air or on our web. No liability, explicit or implied, shall be extended to W4CY Radio or its employees or affiliates. Any questions or comments should be directed to those show hosts. Thank you for choosing W4CY Radio.
Draw me close to you. Never let me go. And lay it all down again. To hear you say that I'm a friend.
Good day. The Almighty Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. If you die as an unbeliever, your spirit will live for a very long time as a disembodied ancestor spirit or demon. The Creator has said regarding unbelievers, "Why would I want someone to spend eternity with me when they do not believe I exist?" If you die as a believer without any form of relationship with the Creator, you will end up in the outer darkness, a cold, black, terrible place, with weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, your teeth, the trash heap of heaven. Father has said concerning such believers, "Why would I want someone to be close to me in heaven, which inherently means I will give them great prestige and authority, if they do not have a deep personal relationship with me and have not proven to me that they can be trusted in this life?" In stark contrast, if you make a real effort to seek relationship with the Almighty, the rewards in the life to come are huge. A glorious resurrected body, great prestige, great authority, and a permanent close relationship with the Creator and with Yahushua, who you may mistakenly know as Jesus. To put this all in context, the Almighty has said, "I created human beings, this planet and this universe, for men and women to be my friends, my companions, to explore and learn and develop together. My greatest grief is that almost no person understands this, let alone seeks such a relationship with me." Today we're going to consider history, the real facts. Overview. What we learn at school in terms of the history of humankind, the formation of the earth, the origin of humans, animals, plants, this planet, this universe, etc., is at best confused and at worst downright wrong. This broadcast seeks to present the real facts on these matters. We will start by stating that the Creator, Father Yah, was lonely. We will note that the periodic table of the elements represents the first step in creation. We will then discuss the universe, the solar system, planet Earth, plants of increasing complexity, animals of increasing complexity, and spirit beings of increasing complexity. Finally, we will refer to humankind. We will then discuss Satan, an experiment gone horribly wrong, and speak about the three most powerful messengers, and then messengers as guardians and servants. We will then note that Hillel became proud, rebelled, was cast out, became Satan. We will then look at the rules of engagement for the contest. Finally, we will look at the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator. By way of introduction, who am I? James Robertson. I have a doctorate in engineering and I'm a retired military commander. I now work as an IT project manager. I have over 29 years' experience of actively seeking to draw close to the Almighty following a dramatic encounter with Him on the 12th of March, 1993, when He spoke to me audibly in a locked room, and I knew for certain that He was real. I was confirmed in the Anglican Church at the age of 13, served as an altar boy for a number of years from the age of 19. Eventually, married to an unbeliever, I became disenchanted with the hypocrisy in the church and backslid to a point where I was not even sure the Almighty existed. In this backslidden state, I embarked on an adulterous affair, which when it ended, left me desperate and suicidal. It was then that the Almighty spoke to me, and I realized that my intellect had got me into a right mess, and I chose to serve Him faithfully for the rest of my life. In doing this, I applied my deep-seated aversion to failure, born out of an accident in early childhood, coupled to my engineering and military training of rigor and preventing failure, to my seeking of knowledge about Father. This journey led to numerous supernatural experiences, prayers answered, and clear communication with the Creator that forms the basis for what I teach in these programs. What is End Time Issue Ministries? It's the organizational vehicle for delivering my message through email articles, websites, this radio program, physical books, LinkedIn, Facebook, YouTube, SlideShare, and Twitter. What is this program? The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. It represents the essence of my message. See the website www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org for more information. See also www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show and then podcasts for previous broadcasts, or search on Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. So tonight's message, 2022-0605, the essence of my message regarding history, our world today, the real facts. I've been through a lengthy journey of getting to know the Almighty and learn about Him and His ways. And in the process, I've come to know that there's a huge amount of error in what is taught in religion and also in history, etc., insofar as it relates to key fundamentals. This broadcast presents extracts from an ebook which seeks to draw much that I've learned into a compendium of information that relates specifically to aspects of the history of this planet and of mankind that I hope will be useful to others. With this in mind, while it does summarize many of the articles on the website and does provide information that I've not previously documented, it should not be seen as replacing the website. It is my hope that by the time you've listened to this broadcast, you will have a heightened awareness of the matters of the Almighty and taken decisions that lead you much closer to Him. For the full ebook, please visit https://www.endtimeissueministries.org, the webpage, Essence of My Message, History of Our World Today. Chapter 1, The Beginning. Father Was Lonely. In considering what follows, it is important that you understand that I present this information as a person with qualifications in engineering, science, and biology, and I hold that everything that follows complies with the level of rigor that my training requires. So point number one, Father was lonely. As His name, Yah the Eternally Self-Existing, indicates, the Creator has always existed. I understand that this represents a challenge for many people in terms of making an intellectual decision to believe. However, because of my deep personal experience of the reality of His existence, coupled to deep application of engineering disciplines and principles in my journey with Him and learning about Him, I conclude with absolute certainty that He exists and that every facet of the world we live in evidences this. I therefore suggest for your consideration, if you today are one who does not believe in the existence of the Creator, one who sort of believes but is not confident enough to defend your position, that each element of what is presented here will, at some level, point towards the conclusion that He is real. But I recognize that for many, perhaps most of this will not be sufficient, and accordingly I suggest that you pray to Him for guidance and proof of His existence. I will give more guidance on this towards the end of the book, but you might also like to read the article, The Creator Desires a Deep Personal Relationship with You, on the website. Early on in my walk with Father, I came to understand that the reason we exist is because He wanted companions, people He could talk to have relationship with, learn with. Did I say learn? Yes, I did. It is a lie that Father knows all things. He is constantly learning. We are an experiment. He's constantly learning with us and about us. In fact, the messed up state of the world today is a consequence of errors in manufacturing and errors of judgment made by our Father during the creative process. Many, many millions of years ago, Father decided that he wanted companions, friends, beings he could talk to, share things with, learn things with. And so he set himself the task of creating highly intelligent beings, beings as much like himself as possible. People who had willpower, the ability to make decisions, to discuss, to debate, to create, people with emotions, and so began a long iterative and incremental journey over millions of years to create an environment suitable for these beings, and then finally to create the beings themselves. At an early stage, Father realized that he would make mistakes, and accordingly he created an incinerator where failed experiments could be cast into intense fire to be utterly destroyed. This place is known today as the Lake of Fire and Brimstone, and is at the very center of the place colloquially known as hell. Folks, this is so important. This stuff about he's all-seeing, all-knowing, at one level is accurate, at another level it's just silly. What we have today is the first time he's ever had this. He's learning with us. He wants to learn with you. Will you let him? Point number two, the periodic table of the elements. In order to get started, Father needed material to work with, and so he set about creating matter or stuff or whatever you would like to call it. The elemental building blocks that constitute the matter from which this universe, this planet, and ourselves are constituted. To create the elements, he first had to create the subatomic particles that make up the elements and then create the elements themselves. When one considers the question of our existence as a random evolutionary act with no design guidance versus a process of evolutionary creation under the direction of a superintelligent creative being, it is useful to consider the question of how something an orderly and systematic of the periodic table, as graphically depicted on the website in the article, could come into being through a random, unmanaged, stochastic process. Note that once the subatomic elements were created, the above progression was inevitable. So the real intelligence evidenced by the periodic table lies in the specification, creation of the subatomic elements. Either way, I submit for your consideration that it is impossible for the above order to come into existence without some super intelligent design engineer to design and build this complexity. Folks, again, so important. If you have no knowledge of chemistry and physics and science, and specifically the periodic table, you're not going to know what I'm talking about. The periodic table sets out the progression of materials, of elements, starting with hydrogen, which forms a gas, and all the way through oxygen, carbon, steel, iron, platinum, gold, all the way up. And it's very, very systematic, very structured. Not something that could have randomly created itself. Point number three, the universe. Once the full range of elemental building blocks had been created, it was time to create a large body of material containing those elements and to cause that large body to explode and expand into the nothingness of space. Basic laws of physics, mechanics, chemistry, and having been first established. So we find that there was a Big Bang that set about the initial creation of the universe in order to create a gravitational environment for more refined development. As the matter of the universe expanded outwards from the origin, numerous planets and suns were formed, and Father intervened with these as he saw fit to craft environments suitable for further development. Thus, it is entirely valid that there are numerous solar systems, suns, and planets that are similar to our own and others very different, that during the progression of experimentation have been used to progressively establish the optimum conditions for the optimum form of life, to create the highly intelligent beings that Father wanted to be his friends. However, when an experiment has failed to meet required design standards, it has been terminated such that life has not continued. It is my clear understanding that right now Earth is the only inhabited planet out there. No harm in looking, but not going to find another life, although other life is entirely plausible, were it not for the controlled nature of the experiment. So, the universe is huge, folks. It's quite likely that there are other solar systems similar to ours, other planets similar to ours. And it's quite possible that before this planet, Father created similar environments. And if this experiment were to fail totally, he might go and repeat that elsewhere. Then the solar system. Within the universe, there are innumerable solar systems, of which ours is but one of many. And these have been developed experimentally to create varying conditions with a view to creating an environment suitable to establish a planet, suitable for the highly intelligent creative beings that Father has been working towards for all these years. I really want to stress here that if you stop and think about the sophistication, the complexity of the universe, the solar system, the sun, the moon, the stars, the earth, the complexity of the plants and the animals and everything that goes with that, the complexity of us just as beings. I don't understand how it is possible to convince yourself that there has not been a creative agency. And I'm not going to go into, in this broadcast, into the fact that the problem that most intelligent people have with religion is the rubbish that religion teaches. Don't worry about that. Look at the facts. Look at the reality that this couldn't have come into existence without a creator. Believe in the creator. Ask him to teach you. I can help you. I've been down that road as an engineer, as a military commander, an analyst. And I've never had to compromise my intellect, but I have had to dispose of a lot of wrong thinking that I'd been taught through the church, through school, etc., around the creator and around the universe, etc. Then point number five, planet Earth. So that brings us to planet Earth, a very specific, precision-engineered microclimate suitable for sustaining human beings as an intelligent life form. Again, many other planets with variable conditions created in the progressive evolutionary journey of arriving at this planet and these beings. At each step of the way, the creative process has followed a mixture of pseudo-random creative events like the Big Bang, coupled to surgically minute tuning of specific components of specific situations to create very specific conditions. In this case, conditions that would sustain human life as we know it. In considering the geometry of this creation, it is vital to understand that the conditions on Earth that support life require extremely precise conditions in terms of levels of light, heat, gravitational force, etc., and that these conditions will only remain in effect for relatively limited time spans, at the end of which the experiment will terminate, either successfully with the required friends having come to heaven, or heaven being unfulfilled. There's a very clear objective at the end of the 7,000 years of human beings on Earth. Either Satan wins the contest, or the Creator wins the contest, and we'll talk more about that in a few minutes. The key thing is to understand the precision that exists all around us has to have been created by some agency. As it happens, the experiment that we are part of has been successful, insofar as Father has succeeded in creating a suitable solar system with a suitable planet with suitable beings, albeit that the beings today are corrupt and highly defective in terms of Father's design objectives. Thus there are, today, human beings who have successfully lived life on Earth, established some level of relationship with the Creator, and therefore qualified to spend eternity with Him in heaven. A few of these are true friends, more are servants, and a huge number are in the outer darkness mentioned above. However, over 100 billion humans have at this stage failed to qualify to enter heaven, and today they are roaming the earth as ancestor spirits or demons, tormenting and leading astray the living human beings pending the outcome of the contest between Yah and Satan, which will reach conclusion in some time in 2003, according to the present calendar. Given that not all of heaven will be filled by the conclusion of the experiment on planet Earth, will Father create another planet and other beings? At this stage, I understand him to say that that information is not for public distribution, but this current experiment has been so painful that he will think more than once before embarking on further creative experiments. It's so important to understand that what we have today on Earth is not what Father Yah envisaged. It's highly suboptimal. It's highly unsatisfactory. I venture to suggest that you are not as close to Father Yah as he would like you to be. In fact, you're probably a real disappointment to him. And I say that with some confidence because there are so few people who are in any measure really close to him today. See the web page on the demographics of the kingdom on earth. 6, plants of increasing complexity. Having created a planet with the exact environmental conditions that were required to support life, Father set about creating plants to beautify the planet, provide food, cleanse the earth, air, etc. He started with single-cell organisms and eventually worked up to the extremely delicate and complex plant forms that exist today. I include those forms of plant that grow underwater in the form of seaweed, etc. In considering plant life, it is vital to understand that most of the more complex plant forms reproduce through sexual reproduction. In other words, there are male and female reproductive organs and reproductive cells. Sometimes these both occur on the same plant, and in other cases there is a distinct male plant and female plant. Either way, it is vital to understand that sexual reproduction is a complex mechanism that requires that all elements of the male and female plant organs be fully formed and function effectively so that the male and female reproductive cells or gametes are able to merge to produce one whole unit. Think about it. You may not be aware of this, but you have male organs and female organs in most flowers. Sometimes in the same flower, sometimes in different flowers, sometimes on the same plant, sometimes on different plants. But at the end of the day, a male gamete or seed needs to be merged with a female gamete or seed to fuse to form a new individual who is a synthesis of the combined traits of the parents. It is also vital to appreciate that in the case of plants, there is generally the need for an external agency, be it wind, birds, insects, etc., that is capable of transferring the male reproductive cell to the location of the female reproductive cell, frequently on another plant, sometimes a significant distance away. Again, this capability cannot come about as part of a progressive, incremental, uncontrolled evolutionary process. It must all be in place at the beginning. Note also that in many cases there's an intermediate life form between the reproductive mature adult and the outcome of the mating process. Consider the chrysalis and caterpillar in the case of the butterfly and moth. Again, it's not possible for this to happen as a random stochastic event. This again indicates the existence of a highly intelligent creative agency with engineering skills to conceptualize the entire plant, together with its reproductive organs and associated reproductive agency, in order to ensure the ongoing existence of the species. Note also that from an evolutionary perspective, there is no reason to have sexual reproduction in plants. They could just as well reproduce vegetatively. Again, evidence of a creator. Folks, sexual reproduction in plants and animals is one of many concrete indicators of the existence of the creator. Then seven, animals of increasing complexity. Concurrent with the plants, lagging somewhat since the animals needed something to eat, Father progressively and in an evolutionary experimental way created animals of increasing sophistication and complexity. As with the plants, the diversity, interest, beauty, and character of animals created is far greater than is required for any utilitarian model and speaks volumes of a highly intelligent creative agency who progressively crafted more and more complex animals for no other reason than the joy of creating. Again, we find sexual reproduction. Again, sexual reproduction cannot function except in its fully developed form. There is no way that two animals can choose of their own volition to be of different sexes, develop reproductive organs and cells, and reproduce in an evolutionary manner. Either there's a male and a female and they can mate and reproduce, in which case the species survives, or the sexual organs do not work and the animal dies out immediately. In fact, it cannot exist at all. Stop and think about it. If you're an adult human being with sexual urges and you have children as a result of those sexual urges, marvel at the complexity of the organs and responses that are necessary for that reproduction to take place and to produce a child, which is a synthesis and a harmonization of the attributes of both parents. It needs a creative agency. Note that with animals, there is greater complexity than with the plants, in that the sexual organs are more complex. Many of the more advanced animals have organs that interlock, as in penis and vagina, and there are emotional and erotic responses at play. All of these have to work exactly before the species can reproduce. Thus, it is clear that they had to come into existence with fully developed sexual organs and reproductive tendencies, such that males and females desire to mate and carry out sometimes obscure and complex mating rituals before reproduction can occur. Again, evidence of a genius creator and proof that random stochastic evolution with no creative oversight did not occur. Add to this the fact that in many mammals and also in humans, there exist completely superfluous organs, such as the clitoris, which exist purely for the purpose of sexual pleasure, and one must conclude that this did not come into existence in some uncontrolled manner. Even female whales have a clitoris. Folks, you may think this is incidental, but stop and think about it a minute. There are a number of organs and emotional and responses relating to male and female animals and humans that cannot have come about as a consequence of some random evolutionary process with no creative agency to make it happen. There's painstaking detail. And I ask you just to step back and think about how difficult it must have been to create these different components. And then spirit beings of increasing complexity. Concurrent with the above, Father created spirit beings of increasing complexity. In fact, long before creating plants and animals, Father created the beings that we today refer to as messengers or angels, as emotionless servants to help him with some of the heavy lifting and precision manipulation that was required during the creative process. Up to this point, where designs did not turn out the way that was required, it was easy to terminate them and either abandon them or cast them into the incinerator, the lake of fire. However, as discussed in the next chapter, things went horribly wrong. Lucifer, now Satan, one of the three leaders of the messengers or archangels, fell into pride and rebellion and challenged Father to a contest to see if he, Satan, could lead human beings astray to such an extent that they would all forsake Father. Father accepted the challenge, which he now deeply regrets, and the result is the messed up state of the world today. Father also put spirits into higher order animals, and thus we have animals with character and personality. Human spirits live on forever unless destroyed in the incinerator. Then humankind, the culmination of all of this was humankind as we know ourselves today. The existence of these massively complex spirit beings with free will, intellect, creative ability, emotion, etc., and complex and beautiful bodies is the culmination of Yah's creative endeavors over millions of years, and at this stage, a source of huge disappointment and grief to him. He created us to have a deep personal relationship with him. And today, hardly anyone truly believes he exists, let alone has any sort of relationship with him. Even those who are at some level convinced of his existence are almost all in deep error and sin and have only the most superficial relationship with him. It is a tragic situation. Put yourself in his shoes. Millions of years of painstaking creative effort to arrive at what exists today, and they're almost all in rebellion and deny that he exists. What a tragedy. I hope that after you've listened to the series, you'll have a better appreciation for the challenges of the Creator and the tragedy of the situation that exists today. And I hope you will be challenged to seek a closer relationship with him as top priority in your life going forward. If you've ever designed and made anything, cooked a meal, baked a cake, made some furniture, built a house, watched the building of an office block, you will know that it requires immense creative effort to do these things and that high quality results are not easily achieved. You can't just hack it without a lot of training and a lot of relevant experience. And then look at yourself in the mirror. See how complex you are. It takes a massive range of different medical specialisms to be able to look after all facets of your body. Then section 8, chapter 2, Satan, an experiment gone horribly wrong, the contest. I want to start by talking about the three most powerful messengers. In order to assist him with the creative process and in the operation of all that he'd created, Father created what we know as messengers, our angels. The three most powerful of these, the chief messengers or archangels at that time, were Gavriel or Gabriel, meaning El, my beloved mighty one, the Almighty, is my strength. Michael, Michael, meaning who is as El, my beloved mighty one, the Almighty. And Hillel, Lucifer, meaning light bearer, who was the worship leader in heaven. Various accounts report seven chief messengers, but for the purpose of this article, I will make reference only to the three above. It is my understanding that each of the three messengers above were given command of 1/3 of the total force of messengers. These massively powerful spirit beings with the ability to manifest with human-like bodies were in charge of many operational aspects of Father's kingdom. The first two remain in this role. Hillel has fallen, as discussed shortly. These are extremely powerful spirit beings. They can manifest with human-like bodies. They're strong. They can travel at phenomenal speeds. Excuse me. Messengers are guardians and servants. The key role of messengers or angels in this age is as guardians of believers and record keepers and servants of all living humans. Every human being has a messenger assigned to them at the moment they're conceived and their spirit comes into existence. This messenger keeps a record of all that they do and say, that is the evidence presented when they are judged when they die. More senior believers who operate with significant authority are assigned further messengers to protect them and to do their bidding, but virtually no believers are aware of this, and so those messengers generally follow them around with nothing much to do other than to protect the person they're assigned to, if that person prays the necessary prayers and does not give the force of darkness legal right to harm them as a consequence of sin. See the article on judgment in this life, the essence of my message concerning judgment in this life, for a discussion on how this works in practice. So each being, each human being has a guardian angel or a guardian messenger who watches over you. If you're free of sin, they'll protect you. If you're a believer, they look after you in any way they record your life. So when you die, there is a complete verbatim transcript of everything that you said and did. And that forms the basis of your judgment, and it determines where you end up for eternity. So important that you don't have a whole lot of wrong stuff recorded in your book of life. In point number three, Hillel became proud, he rebelled, he was cast out of heaven. He became Satan, the accuser. As the creative process reached its culmination and the creation of human beings occurred, Hillel, Lucifer, became proud and rebelled. His force of 1/3 of all messengers followed him in his rebellion. Hillel, together with his followers, were brought on trial, preparatory to them being cast into the incinerator, the lake of fire and brimstone, when he challenged Yah, the Almighty Creator, saying something to the effect of, "Your whole creation is a failure. Give me 7,000 years on earth with these humans, and I guarantee you that not one of them will believe you exist, let alone have a deep personal relationship with you." Stop and think about it, folks. If you look at the messed up state of the world today, there has to be an explanation. And that explanation is not the explanation that is commonly taught in the church and the synagogue and the mosque and the temple and what have you. There was a contest. There is a contest. Satan is here on earth with billions of messengers to serve him, to seek to lead us into error, lead us away from the Creator, mess up the whole thing so that he can win the contest. And if you are not seeking a deep personal relationship with Father Yah, then you're missing the boat. I'm sorry. I don't mean to be ugly, but you're here to be his friend, and if you're not his friend, what's the point, frankly? In point number four, Satan was cast out. Father was greatly angered by Satan's challenge, and in a moment of hurt and frustration, he accepted the challenge. A set of rules for this contest was agreed, and Hillel, Lucifer, now Satan, the accuser, was cast down to earth with his one-third of the messengers. Point number five, the rules of engagement. The rules of engagement are discussed on the webpage of that name. See Essence Rules of Engagement Contest on the website. In particular, neither Yah nor Satan nor their followers and servants are permitted to do anything on earth or give any command unless it is given through a human being alive at the time. Neither of them can communicate nor teach anything unless a human being asks or creates an opening for them to intervene. The rules are fairly simple, but strict and greatly limit what each can do. Father is omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, and he's constrained by the rules of engagement. So he can't tell you anything that you don't know unless you first ask him. That's why there's such massive ignorance. He created us to use our intellect and our will to serve him and to do things on earth. We are not glove puppets. We're not dangling on a string being made to do things according to some absurd script. We're here to figure out things ourselves and to form a relationship with Father. And almost nobody's doing it. Because of the rules of engagement, Father Yah is intensely constrained in terms of what he can communicate to his servants, except if they ask. So if you believe the Bible is the word of God, Yah cannot tell you that you're mistaken and is forced to work with that lie. If, however, you ask him whether the Bible is the word of God, he can then answer your question. This applies to every aspect of life and explains why most believers are so massively ignorant. They believe what they're taught and do not understand their responsibility to question, to ask questions, to evaluate and decide for themselves. They also do not understand their responsibility to rule and give direction to the spirit realm, rather than they wait for Yah to act and he's unable to act unless they act or speak first. For example, the world was submerged in the deluge or flood because Noah called the flood into existence in consultation with Yah. Yah did not unilaterally bring the flood into existence. The same with Moses parting the Red Sea. The same with the most trivial things that you hope that Father will do in your life. Folks, you've got to ask and you need to be free of sin, because otherwise the forces of darkness will trip you up and take you apart. And if you're so full of sin and so full of error, you're absolutely useless to Father. So if you're not in a situation where you are facing challenges because of your relationship with Father, it's probably because you're so far away from him and so out of touch with him that the forces of darkness are sitting back and laughing at you, because you're not going to make it into heaven. And that's something you really need to evaluate. Do you want to go to heaven for eternity? Do you want to sit on a high throne for eternity? Or do you want to go somewhere else? Or do you want to just default to wherever you default to? So I'm out of time tonight. I will continue this next week. But I want to wrap up by asking you, what is the state of your relationship with the Almighty Creator? I'd like to ask you to critically examine where you are relative to the Almighty Creator. Do you talk to him constantly throughout the day and allow him to lead you in every possible way? Are you conscious of him at all times? Do you worship him at every opportunity? Do you count him your friend? Have you clearly and unambiguously heard him call you friend? If not, you're failing in your life purpose and you'll be bitterly disappointed when you die. I stated at the beginning of this broadcast, the reason this all exists is for one reason only. The Almighty Creator was lonely. He wanted beings to talk to, beings to be his friend, beings to do things with. If you don't have a fix on that, I'd encourage you to rethink your position right now. It is possible for you to become his friend. It's possible for you to have a deep, intimate, personal relationship with him. It's possible for you to qualify to sit on a high throne with him for eternity. It's up to you. It's your choice. It's not up to me or anyone else. I'm just the messenger. I'm just telling you what is possible, and I'm challenging you to go out of your way to seek it. Say, Father, I want to become your friend. And then do what you find to do. I'll help you. Give me a call. Some key documents and a video on the main menu of the website. Compendium of important articles. The video on the second line of the menu, Why Seek Relationship. Miracle of Yeshua's Death. The Creator desires a deep personal relationship with you. 7 components in drawing close to the Creator. Recommended worship. The Creator's name is Yah, the eternally self-existing. Where will you spend eternity? The essence of my message to Christians. All available at www.endtimeissueministries.org. That's www.endtimeissueministries.org. Transcripts of nearly all teachings in this series are available on the website at the bottom on the radio page. Recordings of nearly all of the teachings broadcast so far are available on the radio page, and they're all available at relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. That's www.relationshipwithcreatorradio.com. Click on the show on the top menu, then podcasts, or search in Google for, quote, Relationship with Creator Radio, unquote. There are at least 4 podcast sites which have the full series of back issues of these broadcasts. So if you found this broadcast interesting, you might want to go and dip in there. Books constituting a compilation of most writings published since 1998 until May 2019 are available near the bottom of the menu at the compilation of most writings page. There's about 9,000 A5 pages of PDFs, about 15 volumes, a lot to get through. I publish regular email articles. Email me on james@endtimeissueministries.org to be added to the list, or to seek counsel or prayer or give me feedback. Visit the website and use the Google search, article keyword cloud, table of contents, and article search to locate the information you're looking for. This Google search is particularly powerful. In closing, thank you for listening. Please send me your questions to james@endtimeissueministries.org. Please email me to join the mailing list, also at james@endtimeissueministries.org. If you decide to draw close to the Almighty, please let me know and I can connect by Skype, Zoom, email, or telephone so that I can help you with your journey. I hope to connect with you again next week when I will continue to explore how to become a friend of the Creator. Work with me to make a way for Yeshua to return in victory at the end of the millennium and make his enemies his footstool. Folks, I want to stress, it's available for you to become a friend. It doesn't matter your age or your youthfulness. It doesn't matter your rank in society or lack of rank. It doesn't matter your age, young or old. It doesn't matter whether you're wealthy or poor. It doesn't matter whether you're educated or uneducated. It doesn't matter your race, your creed, your color. Doesn't matter whether you're black or white, whether you've got blonde hair and blue eyes, or black hair and brown eyes, or anything else. Doesn't matter whether you're African, Asian, European, Indian, whatever. He wants you to become his friend. You, not the person to that side of you, or this side of you, or behind you, or in front of you, or above you, or whatever. He wants you to become his friend. And I encourage you to go for it. Say, Father, James says, you want to become my friend. I want to become your friend. Amen. Good night. Have a great evening and enjoy your weekend. Goodbye. Oh.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. By your grace I stand, just